Well, we're back in the book of Proverbs again today, the book of wisdom. Chapter 13, our first verse would be a good text for Children's Day, which is coming up quite soon in the month of June, but we'll not come to that today. We'll be coming to a different verse today. But read along with me, please, as we read the Lord's Word here in Proverbs 13. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Amen. We'll end our reading right there at that verse. And may the Lord bless his word to your heart and to your soul even this Lord's Day morning. Let's unite to pray. Dear Lord, we thank thee that there is a way back to thee from the ways of sin. Thank thee, Lord, that the prodigal was invited home, received with great acceptance, not as a servant, but as a son. Oh, I pray that today thou wilt call sinners, give them the assurance that they are in the family of God. Help us, Lord, to minister thy word today. Let there be a word for every heart. I pray for grace and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Even now, Lord, come and help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I bring you to our text today, to Proverbs 13 and verse 15, the last verse we read together. The statement, the way of transgressors is hard. The world is filled with examples of the truth of this text. You probably can run your eyes around your family circle and think of someone who is living in the hardship of the folly of their own decisions and their own sin. They are living with the consequences of their transgressions. The Bible, of course, gives us many, many examples. Satan was kicked out of heaven. He lost all the glory of heaven and became a fallen, wicked, rebellious devil. Adam was driven out of the Garden of Eden, that paradise on the earth, because of sin. Became subject to the curse, toil, labor, and misery. Cain, after he slew his brother, knew the consequences of his sin as he was driven off, lived in rebellion and anguish. Lot, after he departed from his uncle Abraham, went to live in Sodom, gave up the life of a tent for a city, ended up in a cave, committing greater sin, and living again with all the consequences of his immorality. Esau sold his birthright and lived in bitterness all his days, and the generations to follow fought Israel in rebellion to God. Even Moses, God's servant, smote the rock and was denied to enter into the land of promise. David committed adultery, and his family was thrown into chaos from then on. Solomon married many wives who turned away his heart, and he ended up with a divided kingdom. The thieves who were crucified along with our Lord Jesus paid the price for their life of crime. And so our Lord Jesus, too, on that cross, not for his own sin but for ours, was caused to pay the penalty of sin, the agony, the curse of sin. And he realized, and we must realize, the price that sin causes. Further proof, of course, is that men that will not go to the cross and will not seek God's mercy end up in hell, in the torment where the worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched, and they burn for all eternity. Why is this? Why is the way of the transgressor hard? Because transgression is against God. 1 John 3 tells us that transgression, sin is the transgression of the law. I want today to take you through Catechism question number 4, what is God? The answer to that in 6 parts, God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being. The 6-part answer of that, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And cause you to see why the way of the transgressor is hard. Because sin is against God. And the first one is that it misses God's wisdom. Sin is the transgression of the law. It misses the mark. It misses God's standard. And when a man sins, when a man transgresses, he misses God's wisdom. Did you ever try to run a car or a vehicle without taking heed to the manufacturer's operation manual? You just say, oh, I don't need that. Get rid of it. I'll just drive this car my way and I'll look after the maintenance my way. I know a man who took that advice. He was told with his nice new Honda Odyssey car or van that you don't need to change the oil in the transmission. You know, that manual is just not required. Don't worry, don't change the oil. And he didn't. And before long, it cost him an $8,000 transmission charge. Ignored the wisdom of the manufacturer's recommendation. Gave up that wisdom. Some people do the same things with their body. They ignore what is good for their health. They abuse their body and defy the very basic laws of health. They didn't always know this, that smoking was bad for you, but I think the evidence is in now. Those who puff that blue, black, thick smoke into their lungs day after day after day will end up with various forms of cancer and disease. You can fly in the face of wisdom, you'll end up with sickness, ill health. Alcohol abuse ruins the body, ruins the liver. Never mind all the other carnage that it brings along. Drugs, drug abuse, wrecks the brain, kills the brain cells, turns people into junkies, become dysfunctional. Young people don't take the advice. And our society is plagued by good young people that grow up in good homes, but must do these things for the kick of it. They end up ruining their bodies and their minds. And what about God's advice for your soul? God says that your soul needs to be saved. God says that your soul needs to be redeemed. It needs to be washed in the blood. The rich fool did not take any such heed. He said, "This will I do. I will tear down my barns and build greater. And I will live at ease. I will eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die." Took no heed to his soul. But the Lord had to say to him, "Thou fool, for this night thy soul shall be required of thee." And so you have a soul that needs to be cared for. God, the Creator, the one who has made you more than body. He has given you a soul that is plagued with sin because you are a son of Adam. And you have within a corrupt nature that needs to be renewed. And you need to be saved. Now you can ignore all that. And when you do, you will find that you are flying in the face of wisdom. The way of the transgressor is hard because it misses the wisdom of God. And God's wisdom is that you need to be saved. That's why it says, "He that winneth souls is wise." The person who goes about to win souls is the wise person, because souls need to be saved. What about your soul? Is your soul saved today? Or are you saying, "I don't need to be saved. I have born into a certain family and I have this heritage and it couldn't refer to me. Excuse me from this." You're flying in the face of wisdom. You're saying, "God doesn't know who I am." God does know who you are. And when God says that you have come short of His glory and all men have sinned, that's you. And that except ye repent and be converted, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God, that's God speaking to you. And you, if you reject that, you miss the wisdom of God. And your way will be the way of the transgressor that will lead to misery. The way of the transgressor is hard because it misses the wisdom of God. It also misses the power of God. God's wisdom, God's power. I think of Samson now. Samson was one of the strongest men ever recorded in the Bible. Samson single-handedly slew 1,000 Philistines. And yet, through sin, transgression of the law, became as weak as water. And by Delilah's temptation and lust, he fell into sin and weakness. Those who live in fellowship with God and keep to His truth will know His power. But the transgressor does not know the power of God. The transgressor will not know anything of God's keeping power. The transgressor is left to his ways, just as Samson was. Peter too. We read about Peter that he followed the Lord afar off. And when the maiden asked him, "Peter, you're one of them," Peter sinned. And Peter ended up weeping bitterly. But what misery came into Peter's life? The way of the transgressor is hard. He was out of fellowship with God. He had no power at that time. And the willful transgressor knows nothing of God's power. The man who must have his sin, who must have his own way, will never know anything of the power of God. The way of sin, deceit, wicked devices will take a man on the broad road of carnal wreckage, as God is not with him. The way of transgressor is hard. It's the way of self-destruction. And you can see it in our society, in the streets of our cities, in our neighborhoods, in families. It's a regular occurrence around us. We have to ask why. Because transgression is against the wisdom of God. It's against the power of God. Men are left to their flesh, to their own selfish, carnal ways, without the help of God. Thirdly, it misses the holiness of God. Wisdom, power, holiness. The transgressor totally misses the holiness of God. Now, God's holiness is really in two parts. One is really the name of God. When you talk about God's holiness, you're talking about His name. His name is holy. And we're to love that name. There's no such thing as being holy without loving the name that is holy. And we're to draw near and bow down to that name. But to transgress God's name is to miss the mark in reverencing that name. And the ungodly have no fear of God before their eyes. No thought of God before their eyes. And they turn the worship of the Creator into a creature, worshipping idols, man-made things and objects. And of course they miss the holiness of God. But more than that, holiness is dedication to God. It's not only to know His name and to love His name, to worship His name, but it's dedication to God. Holy things are set apart to God. And that's how it was in the Old Testament. There were even objects like wash basins. They were holy vessels. Holy to the Lord. Why? Because they were only used to worship God. And a holy person is the person who said, my life's for God. That's what my life's for. But the transgressor, oh no. The transgressor has said himself, no, I will not be for God. I will serve myself. And I will have my way. And I will walk and do my own thing in my own plan and pattern. And inevitably, such people become idolaters, making idols of their own lives and their own ways, promoting themselves, and they seek their own glory. And they miss the holiness of God. Now I want to illustrate this in the nation of Israel. Israel, as you know, was God's special little baby, chosen for God's peculiar, special identity as His people. These are my people. And He says, you will be my peculiar people, separated unto me, holy unto the Lord. Not W-H-O-L-L-Y, but H-O-L-Y unto the Lord. But also holy unto me, totally unto me. But unfortunately, they did not follow that. And they looked around and they saw the other nations and they saw the way they did things. And what happened? God saw their transgression. And when Israel transgressed, their way became hard. And when you go down the life of Israel and the sins of Israel, you'll find that that was the cause of their hardship. 40 years in the wilderness was because of their sin. It was because of their murmurings. Transgressors miss the holiness of God. And the way of the transgressor is hard. It brings hardship. Now let me apply this two ways here. Not two sides of the church. And my hands are going all directions here. I don't want to get confusion in anyone, but if you're not a Christian here, if you're not saved, as yet you're not for God. You're saying, my life is my own, I want to go my own way, I don't want to be a Christian, I don't want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. You've not surrendered to the call of the gospel. You're holding out. You're opposing the call to yield and to surrender, to take up the cross. Therefore, you are missing the mark, and you're missing holiness, the purpose of God's holiness. And when God looks upon you, what does He see? Does He see holiness? No. He sees transgression. You're missing the mark. But you say, but I helped someone yesterday. I gave $100 to help somebody yesterday. Was that not a good thing? But why did you do it? Did you do it because you want to serve God? No. You did it because you wanted to serve yourself. It made you feel good. It made you look good. You could tell others and boast about it perhaps. But your good that you did unto men, you did not in a holy way. It's still unholy. It is still human, selfish, self-centered. It's not unto the Lord. And until you surrender and yield yourself, your life unto the Lord, only then do those good things that you do become holiness unto the Lord. So as an unsaved, unconverted, unyielded person to the gospel, you miss the mark every time. You miss the holiness of God every time. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, no matter what money you give, no matter what effort or time you put into it, you miss the mark. Until you surrender and say, my life is for God. I want to be separate, set apart for God. That's what a Christian is. A Christ one. Christian. Christ one. A yielded, surrendered disciple of the Lord Jesus. And then everything you do is holy. Even your domestic work is holy. Because you're doing it as a yielded, surrendered believer unto the Lord. You keep your yard tidy. You want to be a good testimony. I don't believe that Christians should have their yard full of junk. I don't believe that you should live in the most untidy, unkempt house on the street. I don't believe that they should live in the richest house either. Could be the smallest, littlest home, but it can be the testimony for God. And the little touch-ups, and the cleaning of the windows, as a Christian, a testimony for God. Those works become holy, because you're doing it not just to be a proud homeowner, you're doing it because your life in every area is to be a witness unto the Lord. There is no merit in shabbiness in the Christian life. Now, this week I was over in Pennsylvania and I was so tired when I got there on Monday afternoon that I slept part of the way on the vehicle I was driving in from the airport to the place we were staying. But later we were driving to the church for a service and got a look at the countryside, and it was through the Mennonite and the Amish territory. And they have a different way of doing things over there. And they have huge fields, many crops. And they do all the work with horses. Now, I didn't see it this time. I remember one other occasion I was there, I saw this team of horses pulling a baler. Now, the baler was not power driven by the horses. It was power driven by an engine on the baler. And these people are not allowed to have a self-propelled machine, like a tractor pulling the baler, but they're allowed to have an engine on the baler to propel the baler to do the baling. So they have a lot of these ideas. But I tell you, when it comes to utilizing the land, testimony of housekeeping. The Amish people, they don't have church buildings. They meet in homes, and they have a rotation system where they go around, the whole congregation goes around all the homes. And the story I heard from one was the congregation is so large that they would come around every 18 months. Now, before they would come around, that was time for a major spring cleaning. And, of course, in itself, that would keep up the tidiness of the place, just to know that, well, in another few weeks, we're going to have meeting here. But the what I'm trying to say is Protestantism, biblical Christianity, work ethic, cleanliness go together. And isn't it strange that the very people that don't believe in working to get to heaven, we believe in grace. We believe in salvation by faith alone. We do not believe that we get to heaven by chaos. And here we have a people who are peculiar unto the Lord and their works. Your works are unto the Lord as a Christian. Now, Israel transgressed many times. Nadab and Abihu, when they saw this, the fire that came down from the Lord, they came up with other fire. And the Lord slew them. There was a time when a plague came upon the people. Or when the ground opened up and swallowed the people due to their murmuring and their bickering and their sin. And then, of course, when they made the golden calf, the Lord was going to destroy the people. And Moses interceded, pleaded with God. And there he is, a type of the Lord Jesus, Moses pleading for the people. Father, don't destroy these people. Have mercy on them. And that's how our Lord Jesus is praying for his church today. We are here because of the intercession of Christ. He's praying for us. There were times when God shut up the heavens and gave no rain because Israel had sinned. When they missed the holiness of God, it brought upon them trouble. My friend, when are we ever going to learn this? When are we ever going to learn the truth of this? When we miss living for God's holiness, we end up in the hard road of trouble. The way of transgressor is hard. So that's the third one. The fourth one is that it misses God's justice. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice. When you run from the law of God, you're really on your own. And you become your own executioner. You're really building your own gallows. And you're going to hang yourself. You run right into the noose of sudden death. Men who do not have the law of God speaking for them are really living on death row, waiting for the hour of execution. You see, God's justice is so infinite, exact, it's unquestionable. Will the judge of all the earth, will the God who marks sin, notes every word and deed, judge iniquity? God's justice is inflexible. He cannot wink at your sin. He cannot say to men, well, just let it by. God's justice is inescapable. It's all around you. The world in which you live tells you that God is a God of justice. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God's justice is also within you. There is built within you a sense of equity and fairness. You have little children, 2 years old, 3 years old, and they'll come to their parents and say, that's not fair, that's not fair. Where did they learn that? What school of ethics did they attend? Where did they learn to understand justice? We're created in the image of God. And man who reflects, and I know the glass is broken and it's an imperfect image of the nature of God, but man understands justice. And when you're wronged and harmed, you sense the injustice of it. And your conscience is the measure of the power of the law at work in you. It speaks of the good and the evil, the right and the wrong. It tells you of what honors God and what grieves Him. The law speaks as the judge of the heart. You know, to be under conviction of sin is a terrible thing. I knew a lady once that was in bed for 3 days. Couldn't eat, couldn't function. Turned out that she needed to get saved. She was so convicted of her ungodly ways, her need of a Savior, but she was resisting. Praise God, the Lord won the battle. And what a battle it was. Many psychiatric wards today are filled with people. And their real problem is guilt. The shame that they sense within their own inner being of what they have done. And they're tormented day and night with that worm, the plague of their own heart. And often the physician has to listen to the story of not some physical problem, but really a conscience issue. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. And until you get your sin put right and get it under the blood, you're miserable, wretched. You can't enjoy anything until you put that sin away. Many are even driven to the point of suicide because of the guilt that they're ridden with. My friend, if you are missing the justice of God, no wonder the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is the way that resists the justice of God. The justice of God doesn't speak for you. It speaks against you. And oh, how hard it is. But the Christian has the law of God speaking on his side. That's the wonderful thing. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The law speaks not against us, but for us. What a wonder, what a difference. Before I was saved, the law condemned me. It pointed the finger and said, Ian, you have sinned, you're guilty, you're worthy to be damned in hell. When I came to Jesus and I pleaded His mercy and the covering of His blood and the righteousness that He provides, what does the law say now? The law says Jesus paid it all on the cross. Payment God cannot twice demand. First at my surety's hand and then again at mine. The law says Ian is cleared of all guilt. The law says this man is free. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And it speaks peace to the conscience. And it brings liberty to the soul. And it brings us out to freedom. If you're not saved today, you need that freedom. And you need to be brought out of the bondage and the misery that you're experiencing. If you're under the conviction of sin, you need to be brought into the very joy of salvation. And Christian, if you are saved, you need to be praising God for the liberty you do have. And if you think that life is a bit of a grind, you need to ask for the Lord to restore the joy of salvation to your soul. Why? Because there's no condemnation. You're out from under. Just imagine you're in the courtroom. There's the prosecutor. He's building the case against you. And the problem is, he's right. See, that's the thing about the Christian. The prosecutor's right. You did do those things. You are guilty. And the verdict comes in. The jury says, guilty on all charges. And the judge lifts his hammer. But then he stands up and he says, I'm going to take this man's place. And I'm going to pay the price. And that's only a little poor example of what our Lord did for us. He took our place. We were terribly guilty. But Christ bore the price and cleared the debt. And when the courtroom clears, the law is our friend. The law pronounces us set free. Innocent. That's right, innocent. Justified, just as if we had never sinned. That's amazing. And so the Christian can say the law is on my side, but the way of the transgressor is hard. And the law on the judgment day will pronounce him guilty, and he'll be in hell. And then it misses God's love. The transgressor is on the run from God. He's not the prodigal coming home, but he's the prodigal leaving home. The transgressor is that young man saying to his father, "Father, I'm leaving. Give me the inheritance that's mine." And he looks upon his father with a scowl on his face, and he thinks that his father is an old wretch. And there he goes, down the road. Let me tell you that that father is the same father as the son turns his back on him going down the road, as the father who had his arms open wide when he comes home again. It's the same father. But the son, with an ill spirit, leaving home with a grudge, has to learn that the way of the transgressor is hard. And he spurns his father's goodness. And he goes out into the world to bankruptcy and to feeding the swine and hunger and shame until he's brought to himself. And that same father takes him in again. But all that he has to go through in between, because he misses his father's love. And my friend, if you're choosing the way of sin and the way of transgression and the way of this world, and you will not become a Christian, you will not bow the knee to the cross, the way of the transgressor is hard because you're missing the love of God. You're missing all that God has for you. You're turning your back on it. And I only pray that you don't have to go into the far country, that you don't have to go to feed the swine. I pray that today that God will give you repentance now, and you will enter into the love of God. He's the same Father today as when that prodigal came home and he clothed him, made him a son. Not a servant, a son. Oh, don't miss the love of God. Then lastly, it misses God's truth. That's the last one in that catechism answer. God's wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. God is truth. God cannot lie. The Lord Jesus is the truth. He is the revelation of the Father. But the way of the transgressor is to live the lie. That's what the transgressor does. He lives the lie. He has to go into denial. Jesus said, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of the Father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. The transgressor that goes the way of the world and the way of the devil is abiding in the lie. My friend, there's never anything to be gained by living the lie. You're denying everything that God is. And the way of the transgressor is hard because there's no word of hope. He raised the word hope in the life of the transgressor. He's beyond hope. He cannot find hope. He cannot find peace. He cannot find rest. He cannot say, "Now I'm satisfied. Now I'm sure. Now I'm certain." There's no such word, no such vocabulary in the life of the transgressor. But there's no truth in the way he's living. And all that he's doing is living the lie. No wonder the way of the transgressor is hard. Now, to be saved, you need the hope of the gospel. And of course, the gospel is God's truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's the way you get saved. That's the way you come out of the lie that you're living. The sham that you're living, that thin veneer, that front of appearing respectable before men, but living the lie behind the curtain of your sin. All the while, Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Oh, that today that you would leave the way of the road that the transgressor walks. I know it's the broad road. I know it's the road that many are walking in. Many are go therein. But my friend, if you're on that road today, it's hard. It's hard. There's no peace. And it gets harder. And it takes you right over the precipice into hell. But for the Christian, Jesus is the way. The psalmist said, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." I pray today that there's hope for you in this. I pray that you might be discovering that you are on the hard way, that you'll turn around. I know that wives always say to their husbands that when they're driving in the road, they won't stop to ask for instructions. And when they get lost, they'll never stop to turn around and go the other direction. Seems to be something in human nature that they reject all advice to turn the other direction. And perhaps that's in you today. And you're reluctant to turn around, to confess and admit that you're going the wrong way, the way that's leading to destruction. And to realize that Christ came. Isn't it wonderful that He came to open up a way? If there was no way, what would I preach? If I had to tell you, the way of the transgressor is hard, but I'm sorry, there's no exit off this road. You have to keep going and going and going on this road. There is no end and there's no exit. But Jesus came to open up a way. A way of life. The way of salvation. And you can come to Him today. The way of repentance. Repentance means a change of mind. Repentance means a U-turn, a face-about turn. You're going this direction and you repent. You turn around and you turn the other direction. That is to surrender your life and yield your all. Say, "I don't want to go the way of the transgressor. I don't want to miss the mark. I want to be in the center of God's wisdom. I want to know God's power in my life. I want to know God's holiness. I want to have God's justice on my side." Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. All of them. I pray today the Lord will lead you. But oh, don't resist. Come. The Lord's way is the easy way. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. His way is the easy way. Surrender. Father, we thank Thee for the way Thou hast given us. Jesus is the way. Thank You for Your Son today. That it's the way that leads to life. Thank You, Lord, for the many here today who are in that way, that each day is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Oh, Lord, we thank Thee that we're no longer on the road to destruction. We thank You, Lord, that we're off that path that is hard to the soul, hard on the conscience. Thank You, Lord, that we have a conscience that is set free, that the law is no longer condemning us, but rather we have the witness of the Spirit that we are justified, that we are born of heaven. Oh God, remember the unsaved today. In mercy, call them. Save them. Bring them to the cross. Bless us this day, this Lord's day You've given us. Let us use this day, every hour of it, for Your glory. Let us not miss the mark. Let us walk in holiness. And now may the blessing of heaven, may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with the Lord's people now and ever. Amen.